that. Father, we want to thank you this morning that as we start a new year, we have the confidence that our God is a God who wants to speak to his people. Now, Father, we cry to you that you will go on doing that here at Bethel. Father, we want to be a people that respond to the word as well. And Father, we do cry to you this morning, give us responsive hearts. Hearts that hear your word and respond to it. Lord, save us from being a people that have our ears tickled and do nothing about it. Lord, please give us a love for obedience to you as well as hearing your word. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. And we finished there. Well, the foolish young son that we read of here. There's something of the young son in all of us, friends. Because we are all tempted at some stage to think that there's something better in the distant country. Some of us have been in that distant country. And God in his mercy has graciously rescued. And when I talk of a distant country, we're not talking of some geographical position here. We're talking about where our hearts are. And really, that's what I want to look at this morning. Where are our hearts this morning? Are our hearts in the Father's house, or are they in the distant country? Speaking of the world and all that we see around us. See, the trouble is that there is a great deceiver out there that tells us that the grass is greener over there than here. There's something out there in the world that can fulfill that isn't to be found in the Father's house. That's a great deceit, friends. It's a huge lie. Many have found to their cost, as they have left on that journey to the distant country, that actually there's nothing, absolutely nothing that can fill the inner longing in the human soul but the Father and what we find in his house. Now some of us this morning, I'm absolutely sure, are in that distant country, friends. Our hearts are not where they should be. Our hearts are not in the Father's house. Some of us are on the threshold of the house. We haven't made a decision to follow Christ yet. We have one eye on the world, or one foot in each camp, we like to think. But we can either be in the house or out of the house. You can't be in between. Some of us are in the house and enjoying the benefits of being in the house. And there's a cost as well, because it isn't easy living in the house with the Father. There are things that can come against us. But praise God, there are wonderful benefits. So don't switch off this morning, because we're looking at the prodigal son and you're happily dwelling in the Father's presence. Because every one of us throughout our lives are vulnerable to the lure of the world, the enticement of the world. It looms large, friends, isn't it? None of us can cut ourselves off from the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And we can't shut ourselves off from the world. And I just really want to address these two positions this morning. The Father's house and the distant country. And look at the contrast between them. Particularly for some of you who are still not sure, with one eye on that distant country, or one foot in that distant country, thinking it's going to satisfy. We're going to look at something of the nature of the distant country, and something of the contrasting nature of the house of God, the Father's house. Well, before we look at something of the nature of the distant country, I just want to just mention a couple of things about the Father's house from the Psalms. Because David knew what it was to dwell in the presence of God. And that's what we're talking about here, friends. It's where the presence of God is. And God wants us to be a people that dwell in his presence. Not every Sunday, but constantly abiding in the presence of God. Knowing something of that presence on a daily basis. Well, let me just read a few verses from the Psalms. Psalms that we know very well, but thrill our hearts every time we read them. Let me just read, first of all, from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. The first thing I want to say, friends, is that there's absolute security in the Father's house. No one and no power in heaven on earth can lay a finger on you without the Father's permission. Isn't that a great place to be? In a world where there's so much danger, we have the privilege of being in a position where no one can lay a finger on us without the permission of the Father. Oh friends, that's a privileged place to be. Let's don't throw that away for a distant country that cannot do anything for us to protect us. It's a place of a marvelous protection and security. It's a place of great provision as well. Psalm 23. Read that psalm. We have a shepherd here that will lead us into all his provision. The Father's house is a place of full and abundant provision. Everything my soul needs for life is found in the Father's house. It's found in the presence of God. You won't find it elsewhere. You won't find it in academic study of religion. You won't find it in the academic study of Christianity. It's found in the presence of God, in a living relationship with him. That's where we find that provision. And certainly you won't find it in the distant country. The prodigal son was to find that out. He was to find that out. And of course, it's the place of the divine presence, the Father, where the Father dwells. Let me just read a few verses from Psalm 84, another lovely psalm. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. Do you know that this morning, friends? Is that a reality for you? Is it a reality that the dwelling place of God, where the Lord dwells, is a lovely place for you? Or is this just an academic thing? Something you've been taught and you agree, you give head assent to, but you've never come into the reality of this. Friends, what we're singing about this morning, the surrendering of our lives, it begins there. You can never know the benefits of the Father's house, all that he has for you, until you surrender fully to the Lord. You cannot know. The Lord is not going to give you those things. That blessing of his presence and all that comes with that, the provision, the power, the protection. You won't know it until there's been a surrendering, a laying down of your life. God demands it. God deserves it. And until we do that, we will be at the doorway of the house, never able to enter fully into all the benefits, all the provision of the house. What a sad place to be that, isn't it, friends? We've committed our life to Christ, but we're not ready to fully surrender. Are you in that position this morning? Because you are in probably the worst position there is in this world. Because you can't taste of the goodness of the house and you have one eye, perhaps behind you, on the distant country. Friend, remember Lot's wife. There's a little phrase there in the Bible that we read. Remember Lot's wife. God had delivered Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, don't look back. Why did he say that? Because he knew what the hearts were like. He knew what Lot's heart was like. In particular, if you do look back, you will become a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Immediately she died. Her heart was in Sodom. Her heart was in Gomorrah. Her heart was not with the Lord. If your heart is not with the Father this morning, with the Lord Jesus Christ, then friends, get right with him, because you are in mortal danger. You are in real danger. Well, moving on. Psalm 27 as well. We just finished with this little psalm as well. It's again another lovely psalm penned by David, where he says in verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Friends, the house of the Lord, the Father's house, is the place where you can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, where you can see more of the splendor, the majesty, the wonder of who he is. And until you enter into that house through Christ, who is the doorway, you cannot, you will never see God for who he is. But when we have committed ourselves, when we've entered the house, the Father's house, and we've come to Christ in that right way, we can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. It can be not only our heart's desire, it can be the intent of our heart, and we can purpose to really spend time with him. David knew what it was to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And when he had seen something of the beauty of the Lord, he did not want to leave. He wanted to continue abiding in that place. Friends, may the Lord give us something of that heart that David had. That will be our prayer as well. That we want to spend that time beholding the beauty of the Lord, meditating in his presence, in his temple. Well, moving on, if we run out of time otherwise, I want to look now at really the nature of this distant country. Because it's vital. It's vital that we understand, even if we are in the Father's house this morning, because the enemy has a very subtle and clever way of seducing us and enticing us back into the world, just to get a claw into us and just to drag us back. We need to be constantly aware of what this distant country is like, the nature of it. So let's have a look. Let's go back to Luke chapter 15. And not many days, verse 30, not many days, the younger man gathered everything together, and he went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. And so it goes on. Friends, the world, the distant country we're reading on here, promises much, but delivers nothing of eternal worth. There is nothing of eternal worth to be found in the world. Nothing at all. There is great gloss on what we see. And we have presented to us constantly through the media, even through perhaps family and friends who are in the world, how wonderful the world is. But the world impoverishes. It gives nothing back. It promises much. It promises much. But it gives nothing of eternal worth. Absolutely nothing, friends. It's a place of squandering. It's a place where we squander our lives through loose living, mentioned here in Luke 15. That word loose, in the King James, has riotous. That's a good word, isn't it? Riotous living. But it really means profligacy, profligate living. Wasteful of resources. Wasting our lives. Friends, we have one life. You have one life only. And I don't know how long you've got down here. I've got. But don't we want to live that in the right place and for the Lord? What a waste to be in a distant country, seeking things that can never satisfy. Seeking things that can never fulfill that lead to an eternity separated from God. What a waste. Friends, this place, the distant country, is a place of great waste, of a squandering of lives. Many have found, to their great pain and heartache, some in God's mercy have been rescued at their final breath even. That's a rare thing, but it does happen. God does rescue. But all the tragedy of a wasted life. All the tragedy. C.T. Studd said this. C.T. Studd was a fantastic cricketer, a tremendous intellect. He served the Lord. He played cricket for England, the best cricketer probably of his day and maybe that had ever lived and played for England. And the Lord called him to mission. He gave it all up. He gave it all up to serve the Lord in China, first of all, and then India and Africa as well. And he said this, "One life 'twill soon be past. Only the things done for Christ will last." It's true, isn't it? It's true. Anything else done outside of Christ is a complete and utter waste. It counts for nothing in eternity. It can do nothing to fulfill that inner longing of the soul either. So friends, it's a place of great waste. It's a place where lives are wasted. And I just want to knock something on the head here as well. The prodigal son is not saying that every prodigal comes back into the house. Let me just say that now, friends. It is the mercy of God that some of us find ourselves here this morning, having been in the distant country, where we've had praying relatives and God's mercy shown to bring us back. And friends, if you are one of those this morning who have family in the world, in the distant country, can I say, go on praying, but don't pray sentimentally. Pray for an impoverishing. Pray for that famine to come. Pray for difficulty for them. Don't pray, God forbid, for blessing. That's the last thing they need. They need to know that God is against them. They need to know that they are in mortal danger. So friends, don't pray sentimentally for those who are prodigals in your family and friends. Don't pray in such a way that God is aghast. God wants to turn them around. I'm afraid that it is true, and we know that many of us from experience. The only way to get our attention is to send a famine, is to bring a difficulty upon us. And we need to work with God for that, friends. What a privilege it is that we can work with God for the salvation of our loved ones by praying in line with His will, not in line with our sentiment. So let's remember that, friends. Moving on. This place is an exacting place. I've mentioned this already. It gives nothing back. It gives nothing back. The world will give nothing to you. You can spend the rest of your life, all your energies, all your emotion, all your efforts, gaining everything the world has to offer, and it gives nothing back for eternity. You will depart this life taking nothing with you, and you depart into outer darkness, cut off from life itself. But you will be living, you will be conscious in a place of tremendous punishment. And well, you read the Bible for yourself to see what that place is like. There is nothing that the world can give you to satisfy the inner longing of the soul. The inner hunger of the human heart is only satisfied by Christ. There is nothing else that can satisfy, friends. Nothing else. So if you are sitting here this morning and you've perhaps begun that journey to the distant country like the prodigal, or you're thinking about it, friends, be warned. Be warned. These things are true. And many can testify to that. The word of God testifies to it. God is saying these things are what will happen to you if we go down that path. Moving on. It is a place of bondage. Verse 15, let's look at that. He went out. Isn't it marvellous what we are like as human beings? Here was the prodigal. He'd already had difficulty. Spent everything that he had. And we will do that in the word. You will spend everything, all your energies and efforts, and get nothing back in return. He spent everything. He began to be impoverished. Then the famine came. At that point, you think anybody in their right mind will go back to the father's house. What did he do? He tried to get his own way out of this. He tried to work his own way out. He hired himself out to the citizens of that distant country. That is the stupidity of the human heart. And I speak here personally, friends. I know it in my own heart. We can try and work our own way out of these things. And God must be in despair when he sees some of us. If only we would surrender and say, Lord, I am sorry. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. The moment we do that, friends, oh, how quick the Father is to meet us. How quick. Friends, this is a place of bondage. That word hired out really means joined to. We are joining ourselves. Once we're in the world, once we're doing the thing that the world does to us, we're living in sin basically, we have joined ourselves to it. We have become yoked to it. We have become bound to it. We have become slaves to sin. The Bible talks of that. We become slaves. And you know what? It is impossible for you to entangle yourself in your own strength. You might think you're a strong person. You might think that you have a lot of inner strength. But when you're in that world, in that distant country, joined to it, entangled in it, there is nothing that can separate you from it. But for Christ. But for you yielding yourself to the one who sacrificed himself. And when you do that, friends, God not only is able to set you free, he is willing and wanting to set you free. And it is hard, it is costly, however, when we've joined ourselves to the world, when we've given ourselves, you know, we've heard of people who have become believers and they've been engaged. They have a fiancé maybe who is in the world. There's only one thing that can be done there, friends. They have to cut themselves off, and they've had to do that. Don't believe some of the nonsense that we hear in some places where we say, oh, it's okay to be yoked to unbelievers, to get married to unbelievers, to get engaged and to have girlfriend, boyfriends that unbelievers. No, friends, that's not true. The word is very clear. God is very clear. For every one that God shows mercy to and rescues who's done that, there are another 99 that are nowhere today. That are absolutely nowhere. Because the entanglement of the world, when we yoke ourselves to this system and the thing is so strong, it will inevitably win over. Unless God, in his mercy, rescues us. So friend, there's an entanglement. There is a place, this is a place of bondage. A place of bondage. And the breaking free is only possible in Christ, but it is costly. It is costly. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Does God say that because he's just putting something in for that day in that culture? Friends, the word of God is eternal. It will never fade. It will never be insignificant or not significant. It is for today as much as when it was written. Do not be yoked with unbelievers. God says that very clearly because he knows what the human heart is like and what the dangers are. He has seen it before, friends. He's seen it before. He knows what will happen. This place also, going to verse 17. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? Friends, there's more than enough bread in the father's house. Everything that you need is provided in the father's house for you. More than enough. That is the nature of our God. That's the heart of God. He provides abundantly for us. The problem is, of course, are we in the right place to lay a hold of it? Even as believers, we can miss the things that God has for us. And may we move into this new year ready to receive all that God has for us. God has an abundance for us. Yes, there may be difficulties. Yes, there may be problems. But the Lord is well able to deal with all of those, friends. There is no problem. There's no difficulty. There's no situation that is beyond God. Too difficult for Him. Whether you're in a place like that now or whether you will be in the year ahead, it doesn't matter. God is well able to deal with those problems. There is more than enough bread, friends, in the Father's house. More than enough. But moving on in that verse. But I am dying here with hunger. The distant country is a place of death, friends. There is no life in that distant country. There's no life out there in the world. Oh yes, there's lots of pretense to life. There are pleasures out there. Many of us have enjoyed them. And we can. There are things that we can enjoy. But there are certain things we are not allowed to enjoy because of what God says in His Word. They lead to bondage. They lead to problems. They lead to difficulties. They're against the very words of God. And when we get involved in those, then we obviously will suffer the consequences. But it's a place of death. The only life that there is for the believer is in the house of God. It's in the presence of God. And we need to be living in that place, friends. And it is possible as believers to move out of the place of life. So that the things that we're doing are dead. We have to be so careful, don't we? We have to guard that relationship with the Lord so carefully. That we don't stray away and start moving into dead works. Things that haven't been commanded. Things that the world might think are wonderful. And there are strategies that churches get involved in because the world has used them. But friends, they are dead strategies. The only way for any church to operate is to seek the mind of God. That's where the life is. That's why we're seeking God in the week ahead. We want to know what's on the mind and heart of God. In that there is life. Outside of that there is death. And that goes for us individually as well, friends. We need to be knowing what God has for us in our lives. Even if we're just beginning our Christian walk, maybe you have the whole of your life before you and you have great ambitions. Well, friend, let's make sure those ambitions are birthed in Christ. Let's make sure those ambitions are in life. They're what God wants for us. Because God wants the best for us, you know. The Father has the best for us. And we need to come into that. So it's a place of death, friends. Well, just concluding in the last few minutes or so. What are we going to do about this, friends? You are in one of several positions this morning. It may be that you are in that distant country. Well, please, can I beseech you, friend, take to heart what the Lord has said. There is nothing in that distant country that will ever satisfy the longing of your soul. And there's only one place it leads. It leads to death and destruction. And there's a very, very clever enemy and his forces that will keep you in a place of darkness regarding this. Yet there is a way out. There is a way out back to the Father's house. And I marvel at how the Father reacted to the Son. You see, the Lord has made the first move already. God has made the first move in sending His Son. His Son has paid all that needs to be paid for your sin and my sin. He now waits for the response. And as soon as the prodigal made a response, as soon as his heart turned, as soon as he came to his senses, what was the Father's reaction? Well, I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. I'm going to milk this a little bit. I'm going to make it difficult for him. He's put me through the mill and I'm not going to make it easy for him. Was that the reaction of the Father? No. The reaction of the Father was to quickly go to him. If we sincerely turn in our hearts, friends, I will guarantee the Father will embrace you quickly. He will come to you quickly. His heart is full of compassion. He doesn't want to see you perish. He's made the first move. He's done all that's been done, all that's necessary for you to be saved and to come and dwell in his presence. But he waits for your move. He waits for you to submit your heart and your life to him. Not just to make a head acknowledgement of these things, friends. He wants a heart commitment. He wants you to surrender, as we sung this morning, your life to him. When you do that, you will know the embrace of the Heavenly Father. You will know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You will know the closeness of Jesus Christ himself dwelling within you in intimacy. Friend, there's a wonderful benefits and privileges of coming to Christ. So if you've never done that, can I urge you this morning, friends, to get right with God. Get right with God. And it doesn't take a lot in one sense. We just need to submit. We just need to turn. And that means to repent, to have a change of mind, to go a different way back to God. And if we do that, friends, you will know all the benefits of the Father's house. All the bread that we just read about will be available to you. Everything God has in his treasure store is available for you to lay a hold of. What it may be that you've made a commitment to the Lord, but you're not really too sure whether you want to continue with this. The world looks very glossy. There's lots of things out there that you want to try. You think, maybe I will get on that journey to the distant country and just try a few things. The enemy has you. As soon as you do that, he's got his claw in you. And if you're in that position, I think it's the saddest position of all to be in. Because if you made a commitment but never ever tasted of the goodness of God and all the pleasures of the house of God, of the Father's house, then, friends, you're in a terrible place to be. What a sad place to be. When you have one eye on the world and one foot in the Father's house, it's a tragic place to be. Far better, in a sense, to be in the world. And then maybe you are safely in the Father's house. You've made a commitment to Christ. You know him personally. You're beginning to enjoy the benefits and the provision of the Father's house. Well, praise God for that, friends. But don't take it for granted. Go on seeking God. Go on pursuing him in the year ahead. You know, this is a marathon that we're involved in. It's not a sprint. It's lifelong. The pressures of the world are continual. The lure of the world will be there for the whole of your life. Yes, we are stronger as we mature in Christ to withstand those things. Praise God. God gives us that strength. But the lure is always there. Because the world looms incredibly large. We are bombarded every day, aren't we, by things in the world. So, can I say, cherish your position in the Father's house. Don't take it for granted. Can I say, make the most of that position. Get to know your Heavenly Father in ever more intimate ways. Spending that time with him. Giving him time in the Word. Because that will guarantee that you are able to spot, in a sense, and discern where the world is beginning to get a claw into you. The tragedy is, many of us as believers don't even know when the world is beginning to get a claw into us. We're so wrapped up in things in the world. But when we are in God's word, when we are giving ourselves to him in that relationship, it will make us sensitive to things. And we will recognize where we're getting a bit too near something. Hold on a minute. Let's step back from that. Lord, what do you think about this? Is this okay to do that? Am I okay to be involved in this? We need to be in that position, friends, where the Lord, in a sense, is making the decisions and showing us what's good and what's not good. And as a final plea to you, if you have loved ones who are in that world, in the distant country, go on praying for them, friends. Don't give up. God is incredibly gracious, incredibly compassionate. There are many here this morning who would not be here but for praying parents, praying families. Go on praying, friends. But don't pray sentimentally. Pray in line with the will of God, that God would deal with the prodigals in the best way that he knows, even if it means tremendous difficulty and pain. If it has to come, far better that that prodigal knows all the pain in this life and is saved eternally. Friends, we need to have our eyes on eternity here, don't we? And that is a part of the problem. Because we only have eyes for this world, we want blessing only down here. And we are unable to pray in the way that fits in with the light, with the will of God. Friends, get our eyes off this transient place, which is destined for destruction. Yes, we are down here. We can enjoy the things of the world, wonderful things we can enjoy. We can live our lives to the full. We can live them to serve God and to serve others as well. But friends, we are not destined for life down here. We are destined for eternity with Christ. That's where we are destined. Let's keep our eyes on that. Let's pray. Well, let's just be quiet before the Lord. If the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, if you've not entered the Father's house, if you've not come to Christ and surrendered your life, and you want to do that this morning, friends, don't miss that opportunity. If the Lord has been speaking to you, can I encourage you to quietly in your hearts respond to him? You may never get another chance. Don't presume on the goodness of God, friends. If God has been speaking to you, respond to him now. If you are in the house of God but you have an eye on the world, oh friend, can I encourage you, if the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, confess your sin before him. Turn from that position. Determine in your heart that you will spend time in the Father's house, and you will make it your priority to dwell with him. Just be quiet before the Lord. If the Lord has been speaking, just take the opportunity to respond to him now. Father, we just want to commit ourselves to you for this year ahead. We just pray, Father, as the world looms ever larger, that you will give us the grace and the enabling and the provision of heaven to withstand the onslaught of the world. But Father, we know that begins with right hearts, and we pray that our hearts will be ever toward you, fully committed to you, devoted to you. And oh Father, if any have made that commitment to you this morning, would you embrace them? Would you draw near to them? And would you take them on with yourself? Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We thank you that our Father has only the best at heart for us. We praise you, Lord, and we magnify you. And we thank you that there is no better place to be than in the Father's house. We exalt you this morning. Amen.